We say, I have seen, I have seen. We say that because we relate to things. We think about them in terms of seeing. And so even things we haven't seen, like literally see the death of Jesus, the suffering of Jesus, we haven't literally seen it, and yet we have seen it in that we have comprehended it, we've thought about it, we've heard about it, we've read the scriptures about the death of Jesus, and it has so affected us, it was like we were there ourselves. We see it in our mind's eye, so to speak. And we use language that way. We talk about seeing. Oh, I see. Well, we don't literally see, but we understand. We perceive. We come to an insight. Even that word insight has to do with seeing. It's a way of expressing understanding. I have seen. I want to talk about it for a few moments this morning. Begin with this passage in Psalm 119. It was read a few moments ago, in which the psalmist says, "The Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." All of Psalm 119 is about the law of God. It's about the scriptures. It's about the word of God. And the psalmist over and over and over again is saying, "I love your law. Your law helps me. Your law guides me. Your law gives me understanding." And so at this point, he's saying, I want more understanding. I want you to help me to see. Not literally, you know, we all, unless we're blind, we can see with our physical eyes, but it's with our mind to understand, to see the truth, to see the beauty, to see the wonder, the excellence that is found in the law of God. And the psalmist is saying, help me to see it even better. Open my eyes so that I can understand even more, understand it. Open my eyes, Lord. Because you see, the problem that we often have is that we don't see. We don't see what we're supposed to see. And in a way, our eyes are closed. I'm going to talk about that for a few moments this morning. Seeing but not seeing. It's a common theme in the Bible. You're going to see a lot of passages on it this morning. The idea of somebody who sees but they don't see. The truth of the matter is that sometimes we just fail to truly understand, to perceive what it is we're looking at. I mean, we see it, but we don't really see it. It's true enough when it comes to our physical eyes and physically actually literally seeing something. We see it, and we think we see it. We think we know what we're looking at, but we really don't. We fail to see. We fail to understand what it is that we're looking at. We need somebody to open our eyes. We need somebody to point it out and say, this is what you're not seeing. This is what you're overlooking. Now, let me give you a physical example. You know that I'm a scuba diver. I go diving because I like to see stuff. I like to see the fish. If you can't see, you might as well get in your bathtub and close your eyes. You know, doesn't do any good. You got to be able to see. You got visibility. It's always about visibility. Well, if you're tooling along on the bottom of the ocean and you see this, what are you seeing? What do you see? It looks like sand. It looks like sand, but you're right, my friend. Maybe you can see it there. Can you see it? Do you see it? Because I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, you'll swim right over that and you won't see it at all. I mean, you'll look at it, you'll see it, you say, oh, that's some sand. But what you're looking at is a peacock flounder. It's one of the most beautiful fish in the world. It's just beautiful. It just radiates. It just glows like a neon, the purple. It's beautiful. Well, how come you can't see it? Well, because it's kind of hunkered down in the sand there, and it changes its colors a little bit, and you can't see it. Here's an example. This is the same fish here and here. Same fish. You'd swim right over that. But what happens is that somebody who's seen them before, they'll point them out to you. And they'll go down there, and they'll point at it, and then they'll stir it up a little bit, and it'll wiggle and jiggle and move, start swimming away. And all of a sudden, you see these brilliant, bright colors. You say, wow, I didn't see that. Well, you were looking right at it. Well, in life, especially spiritual life, that's a problem. Seeing spiritual truth is often very hard. Truth about God, truth about the spiritual reality that we all live in, truth about this world and what this world really is about, truth about our relationships, truth about morality, truth about what's really going on and where all of this is really heading, it's hard for a lot of people to see. They don't see it. I mean, they're looking at it. They live in the same world you and I live in. We all see the same things, but do we see? Do we comprehend? Do we understand? See, the thing is that we think we see what's there. We think we see our relationships in the world, and we see what's going on, but do we really see it? In fact, very often we don't. We don't see what's going on. We don't even see what's going on in our own selves. Why am I doing that? I mean, we think we know why we're doing it, but oftentimes we are oblivious to our true motivations, what we're really thinking. See, what we need is we need somebody to point things out to us. We need God to open our eyes. We need that. We need God to explain to us what we're seeing so that we can really see. And that's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes this morning. Do you understand what the psalmist is saying when he says, "Open my eyes"? Are you willing to make that prayer yourself? Are you willing to say to God, "Open my eyes"? So that I can see. Jeremiah 5:21, the prophet says, "Hear this, you foolish and senseless people who have eyes, but you do not see, who have ears, but do not hear." You're not cluing in. You don't know what's going on. You're living your life and you think everything's going fine. You think you understand the ramifications of your choices and what's happening in the world. You don't even have a clue. You don't know what's going on. You're senseless. Or this passage is Isaiah 6 and verse 9. He said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive." So true of our world today. You can go on the internet and you can get thousands and thousands of news sources that'll tell you about what's going on, and video clips and blogs, a wealth of information. It's all pretty much wrong, ignorant, blind. Jesus uses this reference from Isaiah. He quotes Isaiah and he says this, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. They see, but they don't see." What do you mean, Jesus? They see, but they don't see. Well, they hear the same thing everybody else hears. I'm giving them the message, and I'm telling them like it is, and they aren't getting it. Well, why aren't they getting it, Lord? Why are they not seeing? Well, there's a problem, see? We got a problem. Matthew 13, 14. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. There's a problem. There is a disconnect. We have a flaw in ourselves. A lot of them, actually. That hinders our ability to perceive, to truly understand what is going on in this life. And it's these things. Ignorance, we just don't understand. You know, when you don't know about something, you're looking at it, you don't know what you're looking at. You come into this building, you know, if you were an architect, you would see and understand certain things about this building that the rest of us wouldn't. If you were a carpenter, you would see things. And you'd say, yeah, that the rest of us wouldn't know anything about. If you knew about lighting or floors or... You see, we all have knowledge, but it's partial knowledge. We have a little piece of knowledge here, a piece of knowledge there. But when it comes to knowing and understanding, no, to really knowing, having knowledge about the spiritual reality of this life, we all come to this world ignorant. And most people stay that way. They don't see. And then there's a failure to look closely. I mean, if you don't look, you're not going to see. And when it comes to seeing spiritual reality, most people are oblivious. They don't even care. They're not even looking for spiritual truth. And let me I guarantee you, if you're not looking, you're not going to see. You're not going to see. Failure to inquire. If you don't want to know and you don't ask, you're not going to know. That's the truth. Sometimes it's simply bias. You know, we all bring bias to our eyesight. We all see things through a filtered lens. The bias of our previous experiences, the things that we've been told, the decisions and choices that we've already made that we want to try to validate. This is the way I live my life. So it must be true, right? It must be the right way to go. Not necessarily. But you know, you're always biased to try to support your previous decisions. It hinders your ability to see the truth. And sometimes it's simply willful. You ever see somebody do that? Say, it's right there. I don't see it. It's not here. they don't want to see it because they don't want to see it. There's a passage in Romans. I didn't put it in the sermon. You get this one for free. Romans 1, 19. The things about God are evident. They are in the world. They are visible to all in the things that He's created. And yet they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Suppress it. They refuse to see God in His creation. It's willful. These are all the reasons why we fail to see spiritual truth, see what's really going on in the world. And Jesus, again, in that same context, He says, for this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn and heal them. You got to see the truth. The truth about who you are and the mistakes that you've made and the price that you're going to pay. You've got to see the truth of the love of God reaching out to you. You've got to see the truth of Jesus Christ and the salvation that He wants to offer you. But you can't see that if you don't want to. You need somebody to point it out to you. Kind of. Sometimes my mama would do that. I can remember it. You know, I said, I can't see it. And she'd grab my hand. She said, it's right there. Mark 8:17, He says to His disciples, He asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Now that seems a little harsh, but the reality is Jesus is working with them. He's trying to help them to see. Luke 11:34-35, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. What's the application of that? You got a good eye, you can see. If you got a bad eye, you can't see. And of course, it's spiritual. Spiritual insight. Do you understand? And if your eye is bad, what does that pertain to? It's your spiritual willingness to listen and to absorb and to hear what God is telling you, to be open to his rebuke, to be open to his criticism, to be open to his instruction. And if you don't have that, if you don't have the willingness to listen, the openness to his criticism, the things that he's teaching you and pointing you out, and if you're not willing, your eye's bad. You can't see anything. But the application is right there. Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. It's something you can do something about. It's not hopeless. Yeah, we're born ignorant. We don't have to stay that way. Yeah, we have our biases, but we don't have to give in to them. Yeah, we have some willful stubbornness in us, but we don't have to stay that way. And yeah, there's some things that we don't know, but we can learn. Open our eyes, Lord. Why do you not understand what I say? Jesus says to the Jews. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. It's not because of something inherently wrong with us. It's because of a choice that we make. And every day we choose whether to listen to God or not. Every day. And the longer you choose not to listen to God, the easier and easier it is to make that choice. And the harder and harder it is to listen. It is. But it's still a choice. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the God of this world, that's the devil, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. And that's the blinding we're talking about. We're not talking about physical sight. We're talking about spiritual insight. Their minds, and their minds are blinded. They're blinded by the devil to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, is that a hopeless situation? Is that a situation that cannot be changed? No. But it's up to you. And it's up to me. All the devil's out there, and he's distracting people, and he's trying to obfuscate and lie and hide the truth and keep people in darkness, and he does a really good job at it. But he is not infallible. He is not all-powerful. He is not God. It is within our ability to see through his tricks. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do, Ephesians 4:17. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Brethren, the world is ignorant. The world is darkened in their understanding. The world is dull in their spiritual hearing. And that's just the reality. That's the truth. Don't admire the world. Don't respect the world. The world's in darkness. And we must not be that way. We must not think like the world and let the ignorance and foolishness of the world blind us to the truth. 2 Peter 1:9, for whoever lacks these qualities, if you fail to live the life of a Christian as you ought, you lose your insight. That person is nearsighted, so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. You know, there's a clinic down in Mexico, the Guerrero Clinic, and what they do is supported by the local Rotary Club, of which I'm a member. And one of the things they do is they have this clinic where a couple of times a year they send these eye doctors down, and primarily what they do is cataract surgery. And people come in to that clinic nearly blind, can't see a thing. And in a few minutes, they have their cataracts removed and they can see. It's a beautiful thing. Brethren, we have to be able to see. And we've got to let God open our eyes. So that's the application. We need to let God open our eyes. Look carefully at His Word, because that's how it's going to happen. How are we going to go from being ignorant and spiritually blind and not understanding what we're looking at? How are we going to go from that to being able to see and say, oh, I understand now. I understand the truth of what's going on. Well, God explains it to us. It's like that guy pointing the finger at the fish. You say, oh. Well, God, in His Word, He points a finger at things and He says, this is what this is. This is what's going on. And you listen to that and you understand that and you dwell on it, you think about it, and suddenly it dawns on you, I understand why that person did that and why this world is the way it is and why I've been the way that I am. And I have a better grasp on that now. That's what you got to do. Look honestly at yourself and at what God says to you. No, honestly, be honest with yourself. Because that's a problem. See, our selfishness, our self-serving attitude blinds us. It blinds us to our behavior, what's going on. And what we need to do is let God's Word describe us to ourselves and say, you know, that is the way I am. Open our eyes. God explain to us what we're seeing. We got to let God's Word work on us. And that's what that psalmist is talking about. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. That's where it's going to come from. And it's a spectrum, you know. To the degree that you never open this book and you never consider what it says, you are blind. And to the degree that you open this book and you read from it and you study it and you consider what it says and you apply it, you can see. And you, my friend, are somewhere on that spectrum. I hope you're not all the way over here, because I don't think you'd be here this morning if you were. You want to see, don't you? You want to, don't you feel that? Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes. Psalm 73. You know, he had a problem. He saw these wicked people doing well in life, and it bothered him. He says, I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. That's what he's looking at. He's looking at the prosperity of the wicked. He says, it's not right. I don't like it. It's man, maybe I'm just wasting my time being a good person. But then later on in the psalm, he goes into the house of God. He came into the sanctuary of God, and he says, then I see. Then I perceive. It's like it opened my eyes. I thought about God's Word. I heard a message from God's law. I thought about God sitting on His throne and that God will judge. And suddenly dawned on me, these wicked people aren't going to prosper. I know now what their end is going to be. That's what you need to see. You need to see that. Isaiah 42, 6 and 7, I will give you as a covenant. This is talking about the Messiah, talking about Jesus. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. And you know how you're in darkness, you're in a dark cave, you're in a dark room, and you step out of the light, and at first it's hard to open your eyes because you're not used to seeing the light, but slowly, surely you begin to see. This is talking about spiritual insight. That's what this is talking about. Yeah, we are blind. Yeah, we do have a problem, a sight problem when it comes to spiritual things, but we don't have to stay that way. Jesus came to open our eyes. And in the gospel, in the message of Jesus Christ, the more you take that in, the more you think about it, the more you apply it, the more you're going to see, my friend. Luke 8 and verse 10, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now, that doesn't seem fair, does it? Kind of seem fair. Why is Jesus hiding things from people? Well, he's not hiding it from them. He's giving them a chance to see. And some see and some don't see. And you know what he does with the disciples? He explains it. He explains those things to them. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone, Mark 4:34, when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. And you know, that's what we got here. We got the explanations. We got the parables. We got the explanations. You got what they got. Nothing's hidden. You can see. You can understand. And based on that, Jesus says to his disciples, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, you need to hear. You need to see. You need to listen to Jesus' explanations. You see, there were hundreds, thousands of people who heard the same lessons from Jesus, and some of them went and they said, Jesus, what does that mean? And he explained it to them. And they saw, and they heard, and they understood. And others said, I don't know. Let's go get something to eat. You know, that's the difference. There are people who see and people who don't see, and the difference is a choice they make to pursue. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you, Jesus says. Luke 24:27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He'll explain it to you too, if you'll listen. So Philip ran to the Ethiopian eunuch, Acts 8:30. He heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. He asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And there it is right there. That's the finger. That's the point. Look at this. Open this up. Look at this. See what this says? Now you understand. But you got to be willing to do that. You got to have the attitude that the Ethiopian eunuch had. That Ethiopian, he didn't understand. He didn't see, but he wanted to. He said, explain it to me. Explain this to me. And that very day, he went down to the watery grave of baptism and he came up saved because he saw. He didn't start out seeing, but he ended up seeing because he wanted to know. Acts 26 and verse 18, the Lord said to Paul that he was sending him to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Open their eyes. James 1:25, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. In conclusion, brethren, we need God to open our eyes. You're not going to see it on your own. Without God's guidance, without his explanations, you're not going to understand what life is about. You're not going to understand where life is going. You're not going to know. You're not going to see it. You're going to remain in darkness. We need God to help us to see. Are you going to let him do that? That's your decision. Believe in Jesus today. Find out what he wants you to see and understand. Find out. We're here to help you. I mean, we live in a continuous exercise in this congregation in the study and reflection on the Word of God so that we can overcome our blindness and better see and understand. Join us. Obey the gospel today. See that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. See it. Understand it. And like that Ethiopian eunuch, you go down into the waters of baptism, believing in Jesus Christ, and come up rejoicing, seeing and understanding a little bit better every day. Why don't you join us? Why don't you do that? Come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.